Hey, it's Bob Stauffer. I just wanted to let you know that you can listen to Oilers Now ad-free on Amazon Music, included with Prime.
This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
It is 12:34 in Edmonton. Just for clarity's sake, I'm told it was the Iraqi Minister of Information that visually better used your truly with. So
I was going to say, the other one, the Saddam Hussein thing, I don't think was... That was a reach.
So it was the Iraqi.
But I swear there was a Jody Wilson-Raybould mashup.
Was there?
At some point in the last several years. I'll look it up.
Yeah, well, you know, is Trudeau done with that whole situation yet? Like, what do you think's going on there? I don't know. Find out from Polyev here shortly. This is Oilers Now. Bob Stauffer with you. Cam Moon is going to join us. He's our Oilers Now. Wow, we're reaching a day. He is our Oilers Now headliner for Will Hawk Beef Jerky.
We're way off.
Way off? It's the best you've ever tasted. Search for Wilhauk, W-I-L-H-A-U-K today. Trent Wilhauk and Wilhauk Beef Jerky. So there you have it. You're going to laugh at this text on the Ashley.
All right.
So we've been all over the map here. We open up with Thunderstruck. By the way.
I heard that.
Did you go to the Thunderdome back in the day?
I may have been there once or twice.
So they let you cross the river then and come there. Is that right? Because you were a Northside boy.
That's right. Yeah.
We allowed you to come. Okay.
I would say I infiltrated the South Side maybe.
All right. Here we go. Bob, you seem to have, this texter says, you seem to have followed me around. I first met you at Colchester Arena and then at your sister Kelly's bush party on your acreage. And the many times at the Thunderdome, my friend was a bouncer. There was a really good hockey player related to Mickey Redmond. Well, I don't know who the player was related to Mickey Redmond. Mickey and Dick Redmond were from Kirkland Lake, Ontario. So, and it's true, my sister had, she was at Ellerslie when I was at Fulton Vale, and she would have like these bush parties out on the acreage. And let's just say that I don't know what happened. I don't know, you know?
That's right.
I was a couple grades behind her, and, you know, whatever happened, happened. Those
That's
sort of,
right.
You know that. You know where I'm going
it's
with it.
It's all part of the education.
Yes, exactly. Here, there you go. You can text us at 780-496-0063. Steve, the hockey prophet, says, Bob, did Brendan Shanahan, he didn't give Dubas complete authority over the Maple Leafs. Did he give complete authority to Brad Treliving? Time will tell. It's probably a joint partnership. By the way, Cam Moon's appearances on Oilers Now throughout the course of the year are brought to you by
Brent Ridge Ford.
There you go. Do you know what Uncle... Did I tell you what Uncle Milt did the other night? We locked ourselves out of the house. Yeah.
No. So,
yeah. It was, we went for a walk with the dog, and I forgot to take the keys, and my truck was locked, and of course... You know, so I had to call Milt and get the Ford pass, and he unlocked my door so my family could get into the house.
You can get that app, hey? Like, there's a way to do it.
I have the app, but I don't think I had it connected through for...
Because
you know how there's the rotational vehicles for Brent Ridge Ford?
Yeah.
They're good people. Like, I call them at, like, 9:50 because, of course, I was watching the Memorial Cup game. And then I call them back. We went for the walk after for an hour.
So. Oh, that's great.
So yeah, there you go. There's Uncle Milt coming through for us. By the way, Mooner, how you doing?
I'm doing very well.
Yeah, what's like, you watching? What are your thoughts on Treliving going to Toronto? We'll start there.
Well, I guess we'll see. We'll see how that dynamic fits. I'm sure it'll be fine. Otherwise, they wouldn't have made the hire, but he's been in a Canadian market before. He is, I don't think being in Toronto is going to be overwhelming.
By the way, Brendan Escott, it was, who did you think it was that visually better hat? Did you say Raybould?
Yeah, I did.
No, it was Sarah Sanders.
That's who it was.
Wow. I got to tell you, the way he, I mean, the work that he put on this with visually better, he made Sarah look really good in that photo. That's all I'm going to tell you. So there you go.
Oh boy.
That's not good. How many times has that happened on broadcast, do you think, that I dropped the phone?
Live radio, folks.
That thing takes a beating.
Hey, what's that button for?
Oh, that is absolute gold. And Bob is now trying to retrieve that phone and has it. And we're back.
There you are. Oh, hold on a second.
You got it now? No. How about that?
I can hear you through Cam's mic. Do you need me to come into the other side of the glass?
Oh, boy.
Something's happened here.
Yeah, it's interesting. I don't know what the board did, but it's not liking you anymore right now. So that's kind of the deal with that. I don't know. Now you're back. You were back. Wow, that board is having some issues. And if it is, you need Brendan Escott to save the day, but it's... there you go.
I think I'm back now.
Yeah. That was bizarre.
Now, is that from... that has nothing to do... Don't look at me like that. I didn't do anything, man. I'm telling you right now.
You didn't. I can vouch for that. You didn't do anything. It doesn't like you.
The gods are smiling upon us, I think, at this exact moment. By the way, do we need to laugh at ourselves a little bit more? Like, do people maybe take life a little bit too seriously sometimes? I get it. There's times that there's serious matters. But, you know, humor is a very subjective thing. Do you have a favorite comedian along the way? We were talking a bit about somehow. So we started off by talking about Thunderstruck and Thunderdome, and that got people texting in the show about their memories of being at the Thunderdome. And then I talked about how times were a little bit different in the late 1980s, early 90s, and I sort of compared and contrast that with, like Sacha Baron Cohen today. A lot of people consider him a brilliant comedian, and he's had a couple really, like the Ali G thing was shtick. I remember the time that he did the interview with Posh Spice, and
I don't find him particularly funny.
You don't find it.
Sebastian Maniscalco? Yeah, I think he's very funny. Yeah. I've seen him a couple of times at the Comedy Store in L.A.
Yeah,
and I thought he was brilliant.
So you don't think Sacha Baron Cohen's particularly funny?
No, I don't seek that comedy out. And that's fine. If you do, that's great. It's just not my thing.
So his thing is he does shtick and he gets a little bit vulgar. And there's a lot of people that think the guy's a brilliant comedian. And then I said, you know, it's funny because Dice Clay was shtick. It was total shtick. And it was somewhat. But you talk about a guy that has a massive following at one time in the U.S., like the first comedian to sell out.
Yeah, Madison Square Garden.
Twice.
Yeah.
Like nobody had ever done that. Of course, my brush with greatness was with the late Robin Williams in 1987 at the Desert Fashion Place Plaza. You know that story, and the guy was off the charts. He was absolutely dialed in. It was incredible stuff.
What was amazing with Robin Williams was I thought he was a great comedian, but his range, when he got into dramatic roles, acting, I thought he was incredible.
And you know, we saw Bill Burr. When we were in Vegas.
Funny guy.
You know what they do now? They take your phone and they put it in a little thing so you can't film any of the show.
That's probably a good idea.
Right? Like, yeah. And it was, you know, it's Bill Burr. I got a lot of time.
It's probably a good idea.
Like he's...
Yeah, he's good.
Yeah, he's good. All right, so we both enjoy a lot, and we think it doesn't all have to be. We're sitting here. We're about how long until the NHL draft? I mean, what are we looking at? 3 weeks until the draft? Yeah,
something like that.
It's like the 28th or 29th. Yeah. The Oilers are now down to a second, a sixth, and a seventh because they traded the fifth yesterday for Jaden Grubb. He played for the Red Deer Rebels. Tell our listeners, because you were in Red Deer. Did you, before you came to the Oilers, did you have much dealings with Jaden?
Yeah. His entire 16-year-old year, I was still there. I heard you talk about him yesterday, and you had him on the show yesterday too. So I don't know that I'm going to tell you much more than what you've already let people know. But he is a good size player, right shot center, more of a pass first guy. I also watched him at the Canada Winter Games in his 15-year-old year. The Canada Winter Games were held in Red Deer, and he was part of Team Alberta. And got to see him play there against, you know, the top players at his age category from across our country. And I was impressed with him there, but then even more so in the Western Hockey League because of his ability to get into the game, to get into the fight. There's jam there. And to me, that's incredibly important. And to not be discounted, the amount of character the young man has, not very often do you see a WHL team put the C on the jersey of a 17-year-old. And that's right. What happened with Jaden Group.
So
he was a captain for 17, 18, and 19.
So he's been the captain the last 3 years. Yes. So here's what we're going to do. We got a lot of people that, hey, get the show back on the rails here. I don't want, you know, this isn't comedy now. This is Oilers now. So I have a question for guys and gals out there listening to the show right now that are coaching. Are we seeing, like, I think there's a lot of kids, a lot of players have got skill, more so, but ultimately you got to have compete. You got to have relentless drive. It doesn't matter what you're doing in life. You're going to get knocked on your ass once in a while and see how you bounce back. And you know who didn't understand that when he was 15 or 16? Me. And, you know, who understood that as a broadcaster? Okay, and thank in large part to Wes Montgomery, who pulled me aside and said, you know what? He goes, you got great passion for it. He goes, it's not necessarily going to happen overnight for you, and you cannot get derailed. If this is what you want to do, chase it and chase it hard. And I just look at players today, and there's certain guys, like, say what you want about Matthew Tkachuk. He goes to the paint, and he goes to where you need to go to score goals.
He does.
And that's why he's a highly productive player. And I'll never forget Chris Knobloch reaching out, Cam, and the night the Oilers ended up getting the fourth pick in the lottery, saying, you guys have to draft Tkachuk. And I'm like, I don't think we're drafting Tkachuk. I kind of already knew that I didn't think that was going to happen. But I think so for people out there that are coaching kids, do you see, like, there's no question there's more skill than ever before. Is the same compete and drive there? Or do you think it's different? You tell me. Text us on the Ashley Fine Floors text line, 780-496-0063.
Yeah,
what do you think?
I don't coach as much now as I used to, but it's a general statement. I mean, it comes down to the individual.
Yeah.
I mean, I agree the skill level's never been higher, and I still think the most highly competitive players are the ones that ultimately have success and are able to move up the ladder and play whatever that is at the top level of their age group or make it to the Western Hockey League. I think you have to have that. Like, and having great skill will get you a long way, especially if it's exceptional. But at the end of the day, you really have to have a lot of jam too.
All right, this text comes in. Bob, did you really just compare your drive to being a broadcaster to a guy making it to the NHL? Duly noted, that's how self-indulgent this show can be at times. So thank you for keeping me honest. Again, you can text us on the Ashley.
I wasn't going to say anything.
You could. Go ahead. I wouldn't have had a problem with it, Mooner. Like, I just, like, you mentioned Grubb, and you mentioned what he does, and I could totally see a guy like that willing his way to make it to the NHL.
Yes.
Did you play? You didn't play against Al May growing up as a kid, right?
No, he's a little older.
But
than
he
I.
did will his way to make it to the league because he, you know, was not tracking. We've had a texter ask about Frank Banham.
Oh yeah,
your former teammate. Did you play?
He's younger than I am.
Okay.
But Frank Banham was incredibly,
scored like 80 goals, didn't he?
Unbelievably talented. Part of a Saskatoon team that they had a top line. When Frank Banham was there, that was just incredible. So yeah, he was a very, very talented player and put up the big numbers in the WHL in Saskatoon.
All right, when we come back in Oilers Now, we'll get it on the rails a little bit in terms of what Edmonton might potentially do. It's 12:47 in Edmonton. You're listening to Oilers Now. Bob Stauffer and Cam Moon with you. Guests on Oilers Now receive gift certificates to Roos Chris Steakhouse. It's the greatest steak you've ever had. You can follow the sizzle to 9990 Jasper Avenue and tell Chris and Chef Eltop that Oilers Now sent you. Roos Chris open Tuesday through Sunday, 5 p.m. until close. All season long. The Oilers Now Injury Report is brought to you by James H. Brown Injury Lawyers. When accidents happen, go to jameshbrown.com. Trent Brown, by the way, today the U of A released their Sports Wall of Fame for individuals. And Trent Brown and Ben Thompson were not amongst them. And in my opinion, over the last 40 years, perhaps the most impactful Golden Bear football and hockey players out there. They have this thing where you have to graduate from the school. Coaches don't have to, but the student athletes do. So you can go on and get a law degree from another Canadian institution like Trent did, and you don't get considered for the Wall of Fame because you didn't do your undergraduate, finish your undergraduate degree there. So imagine that. You can play 4 years for a team and not be up in the Wall of Fame, and somebody that's played two or three, assuming they graduated that school, can. And you know what? Most people out there don't care. I kind of do care. I kind of do care a little bit about it. To me, it's, how about, you know, you recognize the people that had the most impact and had, you know, at one time, the guy was the offensive and defensive player of the week in CIAU football in the same week. He was like the Deion Sanders of, because he was a great kick returner as well, right? And then ended up playing, winning like multiple great cups in the CFL. And Ben Thompson, in the lockout year, scored the game-tying and game-winning goal in the national championship a year after being rookie of the year and made it to the American Hockey League out of the U of A. Like, you might want to have the, won two national championships in 3 years. You might want to have that guy on your Wall of Fame.
He was a good player. Okay. He was good in the WHL. He was good with the Bears.
All right. Let's get to some Edmonton Oilers talk. What do you think? I got to read this text because I asked the listeners. Hockey has become soft, Bob. Newer players come from families who can afford the outrageous prices of being hockey players. Back in the day, players from tougher environments were able to play, not so much anymore. So it is more costly to play. It's off the charts.
It's
not even...
Especially like at high level.
Yeah. What are we talking? $25,000 to $30,000 a year, some of these programs?
Somewhere around that for academy.
Yeah, yikes.
Yeah.
Here we go. Let's start a conversation. When would a Stuart Skinner get back on the ice? Do you think he's already back?
Maybe.
Eliminated 3 weeks ago?
Yeah, maybe. Definitely off-ice workouts, I would think.
Yeah.
Be getting onto the ice certainly all of July and August.
Where are you at? You played the position yourself in the Western League camp. Where are you at? I mean, we know what the combination. It's going to be a combination of Campbell and Skinner.
Yes.
I think it's wide open at the start of next year.
Do
you agree with that?
Absolutely. Yeah. And the preseason camp will be a part of that. Preseason will be a part of that. Whoever plays better in the preseason is probably getting the first start at the start of the year. And then it goes on your own merit from there.
Calvin Pickard's under contract for another year in the minors. They've got Fanti under contract for another year. Rodriguez and RFA, he'll get qualified. They're going to end up with the same five organizational goaltenders. Of course, you can always trade for a goalie during the season. Could you see the LA Kings in on Connor Hellebuyck?
Yes.
I know. Yeah. That's what I was thinking, too. Yeah. They're going to have cap space, too. It concerns me a bit.
Yeah, you don't need to see Connor Hellebuyck in the Pacific Division.
No?
No, I don't think so. Nobody wants that.
He's a pretty good goalie. Who's got the better goaltending going into the Stanley Cup Final? Oh,
I want to instantly say it's Bobrovsky because of the way he's played and his numbers have been amazing. And because Aiden Hill is, up until this point, and by this point I mean the playoffs, Aiden Hill has just been an up and down guy, but he's found something. So I would say Florida has the edge, but it's not as big as you think.
Ekholm, Bouchard on a bridge, Nurse and CeCe, Kulak, who was very good in the playoffs, along with Desharnais. I have Broberg in the minors to the start of the year, and then they have a veteran number 7 defenseman here up with the team, and that allows Broberg. Would you have Broberg here, or would you have him down in Bakersfield to start the year?
Depends what he does in the preseason.
Yeah?
Yeah. If he earns it, if he plays well enough in the preseason, then
he
would
played
stay.
Enough hockey for you in the last couple
of
years?
Well, you'd like to see more, but I would be at least open. I wouldn't have it already in. I wouldn't have a preconceived notion until I see what he does in the preseason. If he plays well enough, you got to give him that chance, I think.
One of the challenges Edmonton has is limited cap space. They got to get McLeod and Bouchard signed. They're pending RFAs. Yeah. Costin signed. Costin would actually have a relatively compelling case in terms of based on the combination of the goals he scored, the minutes he played, though he did not play a lot of minutes come playoff time. I think he is a fan favorite because it's pretty simple. A guy that steps up and fights for his teammates. The only Oiler player that I can recall that stepped up and fought for his teammates and wasn't beloved, and I don't think necessarily, I think the smart fans got it. And some of it, frankly, might have been a little bit media-driven.
Who's that?
Dustin Penner.
Oh.
Dustin Penner fought like 3 or 4 times a year for his teammates, took care of business. And to this day, people don't appreciate that the guy scored 90 goals in under 4 seasons and got Edmonton a first-round draft choice and Colton Tubert back. And that first-round draft choice turned out to be Oscar Klefbom. Like, Dustin Penner was a relative for the price point. Maybe not the first 2 years, but the third year he got 32 goals, and then he got traded to the Kings for, you know, a first and Tubert, and the Oilers didn't develop Tubert. Tubert went the wrong way, and development's an important key in organizations having sustainability. You know, but there was a guy that actually stepped up and fought three or four times a year for his teammates. And it's funny because now there's way fewer fights. So when guys do it, you appreciate that much more.
Yeah, you really notice it for sure. And Kostin has arbitration rights. Is that correct? Going into this RFA. So, yeah. And because he had as good a year as he did, you'd probably want to avoid that arbitration from a team's point of view, would be my guess.
Yeah. This text comes in. Hey, Bob, I've coached a lot of years in higher levels of hockey. Players need, says the texter, compete. That's number one. Hockey IQ, number two. Skill, number three, in that order. Well, if you have compete and hockey IQ, often you can find a way. I think you can agree on that.
Agreed.
I can tell you what Trey Levine sees is, I don't know if he'd disagree with you on that in terms of compete and hockey IQ and skill. I think he might have it. The Flames placed a lot of emphasis on drafting competitive players, and people say, well, they haven't hit the home run. They traded a lot of picks. Like, you look at what they did to, you know, build up their defense. You know, it's interesting. I just think back to that Florida trade. I wonder if we'll look at it like, people should remember Calgary finished ahead of Florida this year. We're on the Oilers about improving their team defense. Florida had worse team defense than Edmonton overall in the season. And the Oilers, after they got Ekholm, were ninth in the league in goals against.
Exactly.
So, number one in the league in the final 40 games goals for.
Yeah. Well, we'll see how Florida deals with the Vegas Golden Knights.
We'll talk about that when we come back. We're going to bring aboard... we're going to bring aboard Jack Michaels, along with Reed Wilkins, Brendan Escott, Cam Moon's here. I'm Bob Stauffer, off to a Global News weather traffic update with Randy Kilburn.
I'm not just a pawn in this game.
Three nights a week on Global.
They're putting targets on their back, massive.
Drama.
I guess you could say I'm in a showman.
They're just so in love and so annoying. Enough.
Betrayal.
The guy just put up his best friend now.
And plot twists.
What is happening right now?
You'll never see coming.
If you're coming for me,
this is perfect.
I'm coming for you then.
It'll be a battle.
Like, it'll be war.
Big Brother Canada. All new Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Sundays on Global. Stream on Stack TV.